Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Secretary of Defense is out there fat-shaming the U.S. military.
It's tiring to look out at combat formations, or really any formation, and see fat troops.
Local groups say something has got to be done about L.A.'s crumbling infrastructure.
There are treacherous sidewalks everywhere, and in downtown, there are 140 streetlights that are out just in the historic core.
There's a local effort to have young men spend less time on their phones and more time in their communities.
We need young men to step up in a big way, that we need them to get off their screens. We need them to get out into the streets and start helping us out.
This is the LA Local for Tuesday, September 30th, 2025, brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I am Nate Ward, and I'll be your host for today. Alrighty, let's do the thing. President Trump and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, they spoke before hundreds of top military leaders today in Virginia, with Hegseth declaring an end to quote-unquote politically correct leadership in the military. He said it had become the woke department, and also took a shot at the physical shape of both troops and generals.
It's tiring to look out at combat formations, or really any formation, and see fat troops. Likewise, it's completely unacceptable to see fat generals and admirals in the halls of the Pentagon.
Oh boy, that's tough. You know, you defend your country and you can't even eat a cheeseburger or three. I don't know. Our Alex Silverman, he talked about today's big meeting with retired Navy Vice Admiral Robert Moret, who's now the deputy director at Syracuse University's Institute for Security Policy and Law.
Admiral, what did you make of these remarks today?
Yeah, Alex, it was, I guess I'd characterize them as being uneventful in the sense that the comments of both the Secretary of Defense Hegseth and the President made were, especially the Secretary of Defense, were fairly consistent with things that he had said before and, you know, informal and formal direction that he put out during his tenure. So there were not too many surprises. Well, there was a general theme of kind of blaming predecessors for things that they saw as shortcomings in the military, which kind of cut through the program of for both the speakers.
When you think about these plans to loosen disciplinary rules and weaken protections against hazing and things like that, what are the potential implications there? Could those things prevent people from signing up in the first place?
Well, hopefully not. I mean, you know, the devil's in the details. I think those were, I didn't see any specifics. They did make those remarks about, from the secretary, about taking a different look at those kinds of standards and how they're enforced and so forth. But I think how they're actually implemented will do a lot, and hopefully it's not going to cause any kind of reduction in recruiting from the military.
Does Pete Hegseth have a point about the physical shape of troops? Have standards dropped, or is he exaggerating that?
It's always been a challenge in some services more than others, and in some specialties across the now six military services that we have with the Space Force and across the Coast Guard. It's always been something we've tried to improve. The kind of requirements you have in certain specialties are different from others. But nonetheless, you're always looking to improve physical fitness for all of our military members. So that's something that's pretty consistent that goes back several decades. It's not a new idea.
And those comments have gotten a lot of the attention. But the president said, you know, as he's done over the past couple of months, he wants to use American cities as training grounds for the armed forces. Does that statement concern you?
It's certainly not an area that the military looks for. We are essentially all the military services focused on conducting operations outside the United States. There are some things we can't do, certainly with the National Guard and potentially others with a lot of legal oversight domestically. But it's certainly not an area of focus for any of the military services, and one that is kind of not a natural mission that they go looking for.
Yeah, are military troops trained, you know, like police are supposed to be in dealing with what you have to know about the law when you're dealing with U.S. citizens on American streets?
Not extensively. I mean, there are certain elements of the National Guard that can do operations domestically, but most of the focus has been over the years, as you know, on things like natural disasters and so forth. But you know, people in the military do not have arrest authority other than the Coast Guard, which does, for reasons that have to do with their mission set. And it's, as I said, not something that they're trained for and not something that they have a lot of expertise in.
Now, I found this part of President Trump's speech with top military brass particularly disturbing. He basically called out a bunch of cities that tend to vote for Democrats, including Los Angeles, saying they need a military intervention.
It seems that the ones that are run by the radical left Democrats, what they've done to San Francisco, Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, they're very unsafe places, and we're going to straighten them out one by one. And this is going to be a major part for some of the people in this room. That's a war, too. It's a war from within.
War from within. That's honestly kind of wild. I mean, every big city, whether there are Republicans or Democrats in power, they're going to have similar issues. When there are millions of people living in close proximity to one another, some things are bound to happen, and some of those things are just not good, like violent crime, deadly car accidents, traffic, etc. But with a big city, you get lots of good things, too, like a variety of awesome restaurants. I challenge you to go find some delicious pho and pupusas in a small town. I bet you can't do it. You get all sorts of events, and you get to meet all sorts of unique people. I don't know what to say. We're just going to have a big military crackdown on particular cities that don't tend to vote for Donald Trump, or at least the majority. You know, hopefully this is just more bluster from the president, because the last time the military was deployed here in L.A. under the president's order not too long ago, not that much happened other than making a lot of local people feel pretty angry, and it was pretty much a waste of taxpayer dollars. Professor Tom Nichols, contributor at The Atlantic and retired professor of national security affairs, he told us this meeting was a mess.
It was embarrassing. It was the Secretary of Defense, and he was followed by the president, who gave a long, rambling, incoherent speech that only had one really memorable line in it. He mused about using American troops, training American troops and you by sending them into U.S. cities.
And he said a meeting like this is not usual. It's pretty rare, actually.
I can't remember the last time there was a meeting like this, and that includes two wars. I think it's it is unprecedented. I mean, you just don't do this unless you have a really good reason. And I think what we saw today is that this wasn't a really good reason.
And Trump said his administration will spend $1 trillion on the military in 2026. I mean, the U.S. spent almost $1 trillion on the military last year. So does it mean he's going to spend like $1 trillion more? I don't know. It's kind of a weird thing to announce. You will spend money on things you normally spend money on, especially if it's pretty much the same amount. That's like me going, I will pay all of my bills this month, just like I do every month. Just wanted to let you know. I will this month, too. Well, we know this much is true about L.A. When it wants to, the city can scrounge up billions of dollars to improve aging infrastructure. But when it comes to the stuff we often use each and every day, finding that money all of a sudden isn't so easy. That's our story from our Craig Figner.
Do it sometime. Take a walk through downtown Los Angeles, and it's impossible not to notice the crumbling sidewalks, the streetlights that don't work. The group LA Walks says it's not only an embarrassment for Los Angeles, it's dangerous.
You'll see the Band-Aids around on Spring and Main and others. There are treacherous sidewalks everywhere, and in downtown, there are 140 streetlights that are out just in the historic core, 1,000 that are out in downtown. There's 30,000 calls for improvements just right now.
One of the people tasked with tackling that fix-it list is Commissioner Steve Kang, serves on the Board of Public Works, appointed by LA Mayor Karen Bass. Had a chance to bend his ear.
Limited number of resources is our biggest challenge. So we're looking at creative solutions to stretch that dollar and even to grant writing. I have a background in working in nonprofit, and I'd never realized I'll be utilizing my grant writing skills here at the city to apply for different funding to fill that gap.
The city just agreed to finance $3 billion for a new convention center. Shouldn't the sidewalks take priority?
We see that as a part of a larger equation. The convention center will also bring about the changes to the sidewalks.
And but in that area only. This is a big city.
No, of course. But we're hoping because of the convention center, additional tax dollars and additional revenues will be created, which will then in turn fund those sidewalks in downtown Los Angeles.
Right there, that's the rub. If everything goes perfectly, LA's $3 billion convention center expansion will drive an increase in tourism and tourism tax revenue. But if the convention center does not become the cash cow people are banking on, at least right now, then good luck in the future having money to repair sidewalks and replace stolen copper wire and install new streetlights.
Boy, I tell you, this place needs a whole lot of work. Outside of the sidewalks, have you driven on these streets lately? The 210 freeway, my goodness, that thing is almost entirely potholes. Well, the state of California is putting out a call for thousands of young men and boys to get up off their phones, aka touch grass, and get involved. Brian Ping has more.
Many men say they're unsure of their purpose and their role in their communities, while many organizations say they don't have enough men stepping forward to serve. A new initiative launched by Governor Newsom aims to bridge this gap, and Josh Friday heads up the state office overseeing this program.
Young men, particularly, who are looking for community, who are looking for purpose, looking for meaning, are often finding it online in very unhealthy and toxic places. And so we're trying to combat that by sending a very clear message from the state of California that we need young men to step up in a big way, that we need them to get off their screens. We need them to get out into the streets and start helping us out.
You can log on to menservicechallenge.com for more info. They're mostly looking for mentors and teachers, noting there's a major shortage of male teachers to serve as role models for young men and boys in the classroom. But they're also offering other ways you can serve, including as a volunteer firefighter.
I tell you what, we can all probably benefit from getting off of our phones or just the internet in general a little bit more each day. I'm all for this initiative. Get up off the phone, perhaps leave your home, and do something with other people in your community so you're not alone. I don't know. It's time for Dodger baseball.
Shohei Ohtani continues to rewrite the record books.
That right there is what it sounded like on Spectrum Sportsnet LA when the $700 million man Shohei Ohtani hit his 55th home run of the season on Sunday. That's a new Dodgers record. The boys in blue are back in the playoffs for a 13th straight season, and they're trying to become the first team in 25 years to win back-to-back World Series titles. They play the Cincinnati Reds in a best-of-three series at Dodger Stadium. Game one is kicking off tonight. John Baird has more on that.
In talking to fans, it's very clear they're worried about the Dodger bullpen and whether the relief pitchers can get it done when the games are on the line. Pedro was working in his car. He tells me it's all about the bullpen, actually.
I think the whole run to the World Series is going to be up to the bullpen. You know, if we can hold some leads late, we should be all right.
But with postseason baseball, anything can happen. A wild card team can get hot and go the distance. Mark Langell is the Dodgers historian.
On paper, it's a mismatch. You look at this team that's been in the playoffs 13 straight years, and the opponent, they're just happy to be here. Nobody expected the Cincinnati Reds to be in the playoffs, and so that's the most dangerous opponent. Somebody playing with house money, somebody doing the us against the world, knowing they don't even have a home game. If they're going to pull off the miracle, they've got to do it on the road. So the Dodgers obviously have to respect that, and also the unexpected in terms of you never know in the playoffs.
Longtime Dodgers great pitcher Clayton Kershaw, he's not slated to play in this series since the Dodgers only need three starting pitchers for this series. So the boys in blue, they'll need to win two more games and advance to the next round to give Kershaw another chance to pitch before he retires at the end of the season. Okay, time to talk about the workplace. Most people, they have a 9-to-5 job or something close to it. Basically, most folks work 40 hours a week over a 5-day period. But a new and what I call a disturbing trend is bubbling up in Silicon Valley. It's called 996. It means working 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 6 days a week. Oh, that's brutal. And for those of you who don't want to do the math, that's a 72-hour work week. There's only 168 hours in an entire week. And that term, it comes from China's burgeoning tech scene. 996 is here in California, and it's meant to help compete with China. But over in China, the country's high court banned businesses from forcing people to work those 72-hour work weeks, which makes sense because that's a pretty screwed-up way to live, if you ask me. Peter Swim, he runs a small tech firm dealing with AI. He says 996 will definitely lead to burnout.
They've been doing this in Asian countries for 10 years. And so there's numbers to look at. It's not like a new thing just because it's new to us. And there's even a name for this in Japan called karoshi. And it's called work death. It's like, I worked myself to death, and it happened so much it came up with a term for it.
Mr. Swim, he says his workers are paid hourly, and he doesn't expect nor want them to work 72 hours in a week. Other tech experts say 996 is just a new term for abusive work-heavy culture. I don't know about you guys, but if I hear any boss at any place of work talking about 996, I would say let's start talking about calling 911. Seriously, that has to be some kind of OSHA violation or something, or it ought to be. Well, it's time for me to take a break from all this work. So that means that's all we got for today's LA Local episode for Tuesday, September 30th, 2025. It's sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. You can see the inventory for all 12 dealerships at lacarguy.com. Come back tomorrow and the ever-witty Vivian Leneau Gabriel will have some more news for you. Have a wonderful day. Thank you so very much for listening. Don't work too hard now. Peace.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.